friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 129, The Lord is King, 129. To the Lord and be strong. At all times seek his presence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you in worship and we seek to offer to you the best that we can offer. We're glad that in the midst of this world's busy life, with all its cross currents of influence at work, you remain the same God yesterday and today and forever. Lord, in the quietness of this place, we offer our prayers to you. We lay before you the burden of our sinfulness. We ask you to forgive what we have been, to change what we are, to direct what we shall be. Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself all our burdens, to free us from all that weighs us down, so that we constantly make a new beginning. You sent him to lead us on from worry towards trusting, from weariness towards well-being, from our own will towards the vision of your coming kingdom. Make us into true and faithful servants of your gospel, so that we may help to make the world a brighter place through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning to the young people in the church down there. I'll come down and have a word with you now. I wonder if you ever lose something, do you? lose or forget something and leave it behind when you should have taken it with you. Does that happen sometimes? Yes. Yes, I think we all do that sometimes. We try not to, though. We try to be careful. One thing I'm very careful about, well, I'll tell you, I'm very careful when I'm leaving the house, coming out of the house. I'm going to close the door, and before I close it, I put my hand in my pocket. What do I do that for, do you think? I put my hand in my pocket to find something, just to make sure, yes? For keys, yes. In my pocket, and there's the keys, there they are. Got them all, so I can come out and close the door. Because it would be an awful mistake, wouldn't it, to come out and close the door and not have the keys, and go away somewhere and come back and try to get in. Oh, that would be awful, wouldn't it? So I am very careful. But one day, not very long ago, it wasn't at home, it was somewhere else. And I left the keys behind in some other place before I came home. So I came home and didn't have my keys. And I was very, very lucky that time. Very lucky, because that time, Mrs. Hebbington was with me. She's not always with me when I come back home, but she was with me that day, and she had her keys. So she was able to open the door, and she was able to give me some friendly advice as well. Yes. So it's important, isn't it, to remember these things, not only when you're at home, but everywhere. And I'm not talking only about keys or other things that you might lose or leave behind. I'm talking about the way that we'll live our life. Now, you and I know that it's important to be the right kind of person. That's why we come to church. That's why we believe in God and we ask for God's help, so that he can help us to be the right kind of people. And we have to do that not only at home, not only at the church, everywhere we go. There are places we can go. There are times we get holidays. You're on holiday from school just now still, or you have been until just recently. You had holiday from school, and sometimes we get holiday from home and we can go away somewhere for holiday. But we don't get holiday from God. We've always got to be remembering to do the things he asks us to do and be the kind of people he wants us to be. And he'll help us every day to do that. So I don't know if you have keys to look after. Maybe someday you will. And when you do, just remember to keep them safe and always have them with you when you're going to need them. But keys is only one thing. All our life, God helps us to be the right kind of people. And he gives us Jesus to be our friend and our example, to help us every day to do the right things. And now we're going to sing the young people's hymn in junior praise. It's number 86. I am trusting you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We read God's word in the New Testament, the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, at verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, at verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also, go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also, go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 489, "Come Down, O Love Divine," 489.
Thank you.
The letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, at verse 30. You are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. That is Paul saying to the Philippian Christians, you and I are engaged in the same contest. You saw me in it once, and as you hear, I am in it still. Engaged in the same contest. Christians today, wherever they are, whatever denomination they belong to, Christians are all engaged in the same contest. The same contest as Paul in the first century, the contest to win the world for Jesus Christ. This is one thing Christians must not lose sight of. They're all engaged in the same contest. Christians do, however, lose sight of this truth from time to time. It's because they lose sight of it that we have disputes between the churches. We're all engaged in the same contest. Paul liked to use metaphors from races and competitions and contests of strength. That kind of thing captured his imagination and enabled him to express most forcibly what he felt about the Christian life. We're not fighting against people at all. As Christians, we're all on the same side. It's not the Christians against the other people. It's not the Christians in the world fighting against the non-Christians. We're not fighting against people at all. We're all God's people. We're fighting, as Paul says in another place, against the powers of evil, in whatever ways, in whatever places those powers manifest themselves. What Paul said to the Christians at Philippi in the first century is just as true for Christians in any part of the world today. We're all engaged in the same contest. There's always a fair amount of sport offered on our television screens, especially in the summer with tennis, cricket, golf, athletics, and so on. There's a vast amount of coverage in the media. And if we don't like sport, it's sometimes hard to know where to turn. Turn the television off altogether, maybe. Maybe that's the only way. But if we do have to hear about sport, well, there are things which it can remind us. Commentators have been heard to say things like, he'd stand a better chance of catching the ball if he didn't field with his hands in his pockets. Should have a better chance of getting the ball over the net if she weren't so casual about it. That is abundantly true for the cricketer and the tennis player, and the same kind of thing is true for the Christian. We can sometimes be too casual about our Christian faith. We don't want it to get us into bother, so if it seems likely to get us into bother, we play it down. When our faith comes under attack, we ought to be standing up for it, but we don't always do that. The Christian faith is coming under attack from many sides today, particularly in the values which are being accepted as the normal values, the accepted thing. It's always been the case, and it still is the case today, that we can't prevent people from doing things by passing laws or preaching against things or just telling them not to do certain things. But it is always open to the Christian to show that it's better still to have a way of life in which those choices don't arise. It is true that in human behavior, we have to accept the best we can get, even if it's not very good. But it's equally true that we ought to keep in view the ideal, the best which can be, the standard which God sets. Hold up before people the example of Jesus Christ. Invite people into his fellowship, make known to them the offer of his help. People may decline the offer, but we must keep on making the offer nevertheless. Christians must never lose sight of the ideal. They must always be holding up the ideal before the world. The ideal that people should live together in peace, seeking one another's welfare, being ready to sacrifice themselves and their own concerns for the sake of others. That's how real peace is achieved. And even while the circumstances of ordinary life keep the ideal beyond our reach, we must still keep that ideal in view, still hold it up as the only right way, still point to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. We have to do that with all our powers, in every way we find possible, with all the help which the Holy Spirit of God affords us in the hurly-burly of daily living. Some of those things, of course, some of the great wrongs from which the world suffers in our time, some of them are things over which you and I, in our small corner, can scarcely hope to have much influence. But that's all the more reason why we should be conscious of being engaged in the same struggle. When acts of terrorism take place, what's the world coming to? We may be tempted to despair and think that what the world is coming to is ruin and deprivation and eventual destruction. We may be tempted to think that the world is fast becoming a place which is not fit for people or not safe for people to live in, and to think that there's nothing we can do about it. I wonder what the Christians in the young church at Philippi thought when they surveyed the world about them. In the time of Paul in the first century AD, when the Christian church was still at an early stage, still struggling to gain a foothold in the world, those Philippians to whom Paul was writing, they can't have been greatly encouraged by what they saw in the world around them. There were in the world of those days the same evils which exist in the world today. Evils which manifested themselves in different ways from today, perhaps, but basically the same things: selfishness and greed, immoral ways of living, people seeking to gain by force material possessions for themselves. It was all there. It was all in Greece, the Greece which the Philippians knew. It was all there in the world they heard about from travelers who came their way. Modern means of communication have made it easier for us all to know about the troubles and the evils of the whole world, but that doesn't make it any more difficult for us than it was for them. Paul found it necessary to encourage them to stand firm, to contend as one man for the gospel faith, to meet their opponents with courage. It was of tremendous encouragement to them and a great source of strength to know that Paul and all the other churches he was in contact with and all the other disciples and the many people they were bringing into the Christian fellowship, all of those were all engaged with them in the same contest. To stand firm for the Lord in the difficult times we have to pass through, that takes courage. It demands a courage which maybe sometimes we don't think we have. It calls for a faith and a commitment. Maybe we don't think we're capable of that. What can we do, we may ask? Maybe we're better to forget the wider world with all its troubles and concern ourselves with our own small corner after all. Worship regularly in our own church. See that we have enough money to keep our buildings in repair and pay our bills, look after ourselves and just shake our heads sadly about the trouble in the world. Deep down within ourselves, we know that won't be enough. Fielding with our hands in our pockets, returning our opponent's service with a casual wave of the racket, that kind of thing won't be good enough in the service of our Lord. You and I are engaged in the same contest. You and I and the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ were all engaged in the same contest, and that makes demands on us day by day and hour by hour. Not many people can really get excited about the game of cricket. To some people, it must be about the most boring thing on earth. But it can be that to some of the players too, if they let it. Some players have to field a way out on the boundary. A player may have to field out there most of the day, far removed from the center of the action, such action as there is. But to do his job properly, that player has to be ready. Every time the bowler runs up to bowl, that player has to be saying to himself, "This one's mine." 99 times out of 100, the ball won't come near him. But when that one ball does come, he has to be ready. He has to have his eye on it and his hands ready, and he has to take it. Sometimes being a Christian can be like that, being ready when there doesn't seem to be anything to be ready for, giving our all in concentration and commitment so that when the moment comes that something special is demanded of us, we won't be caught sleeping. Or even if it never falls to us to do anything spectacular, our commitment communicates itself to the rest of the team. Everyone benefits from our committed attitude. We are all in this contest together. None of us may be able to figure out how the contest against the evil and the trouble of the world, how it's ever going to be won, but we mustn't let that discourage us. The Lord is depending on our attitude of total commitment. Given that, he can work miracles with it. That's what he asks of us. We must not let him down. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 425, The Savior Died But Rose Again, 425. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bring our offerings to you in the name and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we seek the grace to give you, along with them, a ready mind, a willing spirit, and a joyful heart, and to dedicate our life to your service. You are the Lord of all being and the source of all blessing. We thank you for all good things, for life and love, for health and food, for work and home, for the beauty and comfort of nature, for human skills and laughter, for memory and hope. We thank you for everything which gives us pleasure, nourishment, and strength. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to follow him faithfully all our days on earth. Lord, we bring to you in prayer the needs of the whole human family. We think of those who hunger for food or for justice, those who have no place to call home, those who are denied human dignity. Many of those for whom we pray are unknown to us, Lord, but all are known to you, and each one is a child of your love and care. We pray for your people in every part of the world, that they may be blessed and brought to know that they are near to you every day. We thank you for the past, Lord, and for the people of the past, the faithful ones who have left us their example to follow. We thank you for the present, with the opportunities given to us to serve you and to bear witness to you in our own time. We thank you for the future and the people of the future, to whom we in our turn may leave an example. Help us to leave a worthy example and bind us all together, past, present, and future, in the bonds of your eternal love, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, it's coming near the beginning of the new session for the Jesus and Me Club, and the club are looking for volunteers to help on a Sunday. If you can help, please put your name on the sheet in the vestibule. That's for the Jam Club. Our closing praise is hymn number 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, 160. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.